Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
And we're the Pleasure Mechanics. And in this podcast, we have honest conversations about sexuality. We offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by going to pleasuremechanics.com and going to the Ask Us Anything page, or by calling 302-IN-TOUCH and leaving a voicemail message. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what to do when you're in a relationship but your thoughts start to stray to another person. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading a question submitted by a listener.
JB writes, I'm very happily married and have a great sex life, but lately I've been fantasizing and desiring a close family friend of ours. I would not do anything realistically to break the bond with my wife, but I feel a lot of guilt due to my feelings towards the other woman. Is this a normal thing? I would never, I don't think, do anything considered rude behavior to our friend. We tease at times, but it is just considered innocent behavior, and she feels very comfortable around me and I her. I think I'm just going through some sort of confusing phase in my life. What advice do you propose? I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings or put anything or anyone in any uncomfortable situation. Matters of the heart can get muddled at times. Truth, JB.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing that you were able to articulate this so beautifully and that you really have a sense of the distinction between your feelings and your actions. And that's one of the things that's really going to keep your marriage safe and secure.
I think it's awesome that you have clarity that you are in a happy marriage, you want to stay in a happy marriage, and that you are having feelings for somebody else. Matters of the heart get completely muddled all the time. And what keeps our relationship secure is when we have boundaries that we decide we're not going to step over. And it seems like you're clear about that and want to stay within that boundary, though you understand that you are feeling a little drawn outside of your comfort zone. And I think this is a really common experience for a lot of people. So let's break this down a little bit. First of all, you really don't need to feel guilty about experiencing desire for another human. We humans are built to be attracted to other people. If you are not experiencing attraction for another person, aside from your primary partner, I frankly think you're dead.
Jeez.
Well, I think that to stay alive in this world, to really be awake and alive in our world, part of that is having an awake and alive erotic self. And if we are shut off completely to the beauty and attraction of the entire world, except for our partner, I don't think we're being honest with ourselves. Or I don't think we are alive to the gorgeousness that is around us all the time.
Well, I think here's the problem. I think our culture confuses it because our culture tells us that our sexuality happens within a relationship, that your sexuality comes alive with another person, that it's contingent upon another person, and that especially once you're married, your sexuality is bound up inextricably with your spouse's.
It's owned, in fact.
Right. It's part of the exchange of marriage is here, you own me and my sexuality for the rest of my life. We here at Pleasure Mechanics take a very different stand. We believe that your individual sexuality is yours and yours alone, and that you need to keep it as an independently vibrant and alive source of power and of pleasure for yourself. And that once you cultivate your independent sexuality, you then choose to share that with your lover. And if you let your own sexuality go dead, as Charlotte's been saying, that you don't actually have that much to give anymore. So I think what you're talking about here is part of having an independently alive and awake sexuality. And that, in our minds, is a very positive thing, both for you and your sense of yourself as a man or as a woman, and for your wife.
And there's 1,000 caveats to that, which we'll get into. mostly around experiencing desire for other people, but having really clear boundaries. It's a really new idea that we can be sexually fulfilled and emotionally fulfilled by one person for an entire lifetime. This is only a couple of hundred years old as an idea, and we're still culturally trying to figure out how to do this. So your desires for a stable and loving marriage and experiencing some desire for other people is extremely normal and part of this larger cultural conversation we're having about marriage and eroticism and aliveness, and feel okay about that, and you don't have to feel guilty. The skill in living a turned on life is maintaining boundaries. It's a very high level skill to cultivate and develop. So we're going to give you a few pointers.
We talked a little bit about boundaries in our episode about how to prevent cheating. And this goes hand in hand with that episode, because that's really what we're talking about here, is how in the very early stages of desire to maintain those boundaries so your relationship stays intact. So the important thing to remember about boundaries is that you need to get very specific with your lover, so you're both on the same page about what your boundaries are. In our culture, we kind of assume that everyone knows what the boundaries are within a monogamous relationship, but that leaves a huge gray zone open for feelings of betrayal to come up when no one actually meant the other person any harm. So we're talking about flirting, paying attention to other people, developing friendships with coworkers, and as your example points out, having feelings of attraction for someone you're already close friends with. And this is the gray zone that gets a lot of couples in trouble, because your partner might be assuming that any level of flirtation is a betrayal of your vows, of your monogamy, whereas you might be thinking it's innocent fun. So I think the important thing here is to have a very explicit and detailed conversation with your partner. Do it over a nice dinner or like a beautiful walk in somewhere lovely, and talk about what your expectations are and how you want to relate to flirtation and enjoying the feelings of attraction to other people. And we guarantee that if you have this conversation delicately and sensitively to your partner's feelings, you'll come out the other side with a much clearer sense of what your boundaries are and what the expectations are between the two of you. So as you begin these conversations, start really generally. Ask your partner how they feel about flirting with other people and what their expectations are, and don't bring up your specific friend right away. Get a sense of how your partner feels about you flirting with and being attracted to other people. Chances are that they'll be open to it as long as they feel secure in your relationship, and I think this is the key. The more secure and confident you feel about your relationship, the more leeway there often is for your partner to flirt and be enjoying other people's company, because you know that they're happy with you and your relationship is intact. If you're feeling really insecure and not paid attention to, then that attention straying from you feels much more threatening.
That is a great point, that the closer the relationship is, the more space there is actually for flirtation.
Well, because I think flirting is actually placement of attention. And this is a concept that I really want to underline for you, is that your flirtation is about who you're paying attention to and whose company you're enjoying. And we think it's totally normal and actually very healthy to enjoy the company and feel attracted to many people in your life. Hopefully you're surrounded by lots of friends that make you feel good about yourself, and some of these people are going to be attractive to you. But if your wife feels that you're not paying attention to her on a day-to-day basis, that you're sexually not paying attention to her, that she feels like your attention is straying in a dangerous way, that's when it becomes threatening. So what you need to do is really firm up and make sure that you're paying lots of attention to your wife in the ways that you know she can receive. So paying attention can look like having good intimate conversation, affectionate touch, buying small gifts, doing chores and doing favors for one another, offering compliments. There's all of these different ways that we pay attention to one another as lovers, and you need to learn how your wife most likes to be paid attention to so you can give her what she needs. And likewise, share with her the ways that you like to feel paid attention to. Because my sense in this question is that there's actually an element of you feeling really good about yourself as a man and as a sexual man, because this friend of yours is really comfortable around you and is, you know, playing with you a little bit and paying attention to you. You're flirting with your attention, and that makes us feel really good about ourselves. So make sure your wife is equally making you feel good about yourself as a man, as a human being, and as a sexual being.
Partly by cultivating that yourself, is what you're saying. By making sure that you are giving her the attention that she requires, so that it goes back and forth. It's an interesting point that how we can cultivate more desire in a long-term relationship is to put more energy and effort into it, and to figure out what makes you desirable is most often some form of a service of attention.
I think one way to look at this is to think back to the very earliest stages of your relationship. When you were dating one another, when you were seducing one another into this life together, how did you pay attention to one another? What kinds of things did you do back then that you're doing a little less of now that you're married and settled into this life? Because I think this is one of those areas that we let go of when we're in a secure relationship that does a lot of damage to our sense of self as erotic creatures and to our sense of intimacy with another person, is we stop paying attention to one another. So really focus on that in the coming weeks and months and see what difference it makes for both how you're feeling and how your marriage is feeling.
We also know for a fact that all of us crave novelty. It is absolutely a fact. And one of the ways to ensure that your long-term relationship stays interesting and stimulating is to experience novelty together. So what that can look like is a road trip, is a vacation, is even a night in a hotel somewhere nearby. It doesn't have to be, it can fit your budget and your time budget, but experiencing newness together is really important to keep that spark alive. So perhaps another piece to really focus on is taking time with your wife to do that. And prioritizing that kind of connection will probably lessen to some extent your interest in this other person, because you're getting that fix of newness in a way that suits your marriage. And the other piece is that vulnerability is always something that stimulates a strong feeling of connection. So you can also, within your relationship with your wife, figure out something that feels risky emotionally to share. Maybe this is a conversation about the flirtation or experiencing desire for another person, but something, or it could be trying something new sexually. But sharing something that feels risky can take you to some kind of new edge that then gets really interesting together. So that can also be a key to keeping a spark going on with it within your partnership.
Yeah, there's lots of scientific studies that show that when couples travel or learn a new skill together or do something that's risky, that oxytocin and serotonin are released, which are the love and bonding hormones, and you get that experience and that rush of feeling good together. So if you want to learn a new skill like ballroom dancing or woodworking or something, consider doing it together. And
wait, sorry, woodworking? Yeah. Together? I can totally see the dot. That's awesome.
Any skill that you learn together there's an element of vulnerability, and you're learning new ways to communicate and learning a new language. But really, any skill building, travel, or adventure, or risk taking within reason will go a long way to strengthen your bond with your wife. I also just want to go back for a moment and talk about your fantasies, because that's really what you wrote to us about, was what is the place in my sexual commitment to my wife for fantasy? And I want to be really clear here about the distinction between fantasy and desire. I write a lot about this in our book, The Fantasy Method, because I think it's one of the most incredible distinctions we can make to free ourselves erotically and give ourselves permission to have an active erotic imagination while maintaining those boundaries that we spoke of. So a fantasy is what happens in your imagination. There are no rules, there are no boundaries, there are no repercussions. A fantasy is a fantasy, it stays in your head. And we enjoy fantasy in all these areas of our culture, like horror movies and sci-fi, because it feels good to explore what is possible without any real-world boundaries. A fantasy becomes a desire when you actually want it to happen in your life. Desires are for those things that you crave real-world experience of. And desires are where you get to pay attention and then bring those desires to your wife and say, this is what I want to experience. This is what I want to try out. And it sounds like from your question, you're very clear that your fantasies about your friend are just fantasies. You need to start paying more attention and getting more vigilant if they actually feel like desires, that you don't trust yourself if given the opportunity, you know, your partner and your friend's spouse run out for pizza and you're left alone on the couch. Do you trust yourself that nothing will happen? Do you trust yourself to maintain your boundaries? If you have that trust in yourself, then it's not actually really a desire. It's more of a fantasy. And maintaining this boundary between your fantasy life and your desires gives you permission to enjoy that fantasy. While you're masturbating, while you're on your long commute, allow yourself to explore that fantasy and see what elements come up that you might bring back to your wife. So if part of the fantasy is the way you're playful together and you laugh and you kind of wrestle or whatever, then maybe you want to bring that element of more playfulness into your relationship with your wife. So our fantasies can be a great guide for what we actually want more of, and they can act as kind of a map to who we are as erotic creatures. And if you're interested more in this subject, grab a copy of The Fantasy Method. It's on Amazon, it's just a few bucks, and it's an interactive workbook that explores fantasy and desire and gives you tools to start talking about what you're craving more of and what you want to explore and experience. And it's a fabulous, fabulous tool.
Absolutely. And I think that we don't understand this distinction nearly enough in culture, and people confuse their fantasies for their desires. And that gets really messy and complicated.
Right. He wrote to us, this listener wrote to us because he's feeling guilty about fantasy, where you never like fantasize about zombies and then feel guilty about that and worry that you're going to take a bite out of someone's flesh.
Right.
How's that for an example? We understand the boundary of fantasy in all these other realms, but erotically, we don't really trust ourselves as a culture. And so people have a lot of guilt about their fantasies. So what we're saying to you is fantasize wildly as long as you have those boundaries intact, and then channel your desires into your sexual relationship with your wife.
And some people have different boundaries around how they feel comfortable fantasizing. Some people feel okay about fantasizing while they're making love to their partner, you know, fantasizing about somebody else. Other people feel like that is too much of a betrayal, but that just masturbating and thinking about their fantasy is fine. Others feel guilty about that, but we're saying don't feel guilty about that.
Well, this is another place to have one of those intimate conversations. And, you know, throughout these podcasts, we're going to encourage you to talk about sex with your lover. And we know sometimes it can sound scary to do so, and it opens up a can of worms and it feels kind of vulnerable. Good. Get vulnerable together and talk about sex and how you feel about sex. This is the only way to have an amazing relationship. You know, if you're planning a trip together, you go into all these details of what hotel you're going to stay at, and are you going to rent a car or take the bus, and what sites do you want to see, and what restaurants. You plan that in great detail, and that's just a vacation. We're talking about your sex life, hopefully for the rest of your life together. Like, have some conversations and get clear about what you want. It'll go a long way to make it, you know, the journey of a lifetime.
And it's okay to start gently and simply.
Ease yourself in. But what's interesting, again, about the fantasizing during sex is when I was writing The Fantasy Method, We did a big survey of thousands of people, and most people reported that they were totally okay with their partners fantasizing during sex. And that actually really shocked me. And I think the key is, again, are you staying present? Are you paying attention to your partner? Or are you drifting and leaving them feeling lonely? So I think as long as your attention is with your partner and you're like really present with them, there can be some imagery in your head that's not threatening to anyone. But in this case, you're talking about one of your best friends, so that might be much more personal. So maybe keep her out of your bed. That's up to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing you can do if you ever feel like you're getting really close to overstepping a boundary that is supposed to work quite well is fully disclose to your wife through conversation that you are actually feeling desire for this friend. And disclosing that can often really prevent you overstepping the boundary because you've brought it out into the open and you say, I'm struggling a little bit here because I am sort of desiring this and I want to recommit to our relationship if that's true for you and spend more time together, have more intimate time so that distraction goes away. So you can use that also as a way of recommitting to your relationship, but that's a much harder conversation. And I think having the littler conversations about flirtation, about boundaries, like those are simpler and can give you more clarity that can maybe prevent you getting anywhere close to the line, overstepping a physical line with your friend. With the boundaries of flirtation with your friend, I would also suggest making sure that you keep your level of touch at the same level that it has been at consistently. Like, I would not recommend amping that up at all. So I think that's a good way of making sure that it doesn't develop into something else. You know, if you normally hug goodbye, feel free to do that, but don't add in extra touching in any way.
Inhaling the scent of her hair, kissing her on the cheek, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, harmless flirtation can take a slow winding. It can slowly amp up if you sort of like add extra touches here or there and like increase your level of physical intimacy until you're at a different point than you have been. And then I think the boundaries are easier to get blurred and that can get a little confusing.
And so, again, that's going to be a really personal constellation of factors depending on who you are, your wife's needs and boundaries, your relationship with this couple, because as much as you don't want to screw it up with your wife, you don't want to screw it up with friends. Good friends are hard to find, so you don't want to do anything that's going to alienate your friendship as well.
But we're just saying experience the turn-on and enjoyment in your body without it translating into action.
Ooh, and this opens up a whole nother topic that we're going to do a podcast on soon, which is about owning your arousal and being turned on and allowing that to circulate within your body and fuel you and make you feel good without leaking it out into the world and making other people have to clean up your mess. We're going to get to that in a future podcast because I love that topic. But for now, just remember, own your turn on, but don't make a mess for other people.
And what that means is allow yourself to feel it, but not translate that into any sexual action.
Right.
So just let yourself feel the feelings in your body of delight, interest, slightly more awakeness.
And then bring that all home to your wife and channel it into having a better sex life with her.
Yeah, it's just about being turned on in life. And that is a beautiful thing. And we don't need to run away from it and feel afraid of it, especially if we can hold those beautiful boundaries.
Indeed. So just to recap here, what we're really talking about is claiming the right to be an independent sexual being with your own attractions and flirtations and fantasies and desires that extend beyond your marriage and include the rest of the world. Let's face it, we live in a beautiful, arousing world, and we're going to meet people that turn us on and spark our interest. And wouldn't you rather be in a relationship where you have a lot of confidence in one another and tons of trust and your boundaries are secure, so you're free to walk around the world as a sexually turned on person, and you're free to be attracted to people and maybe even flirt with people? And that sounds way more fun to me than being in a relationship that is doubtful and kind of hysterical about what's going to happen and where you're constantly worrying about one another. And I think that we get to a place of trust and intimacy through conversations and through integrity. So having boundaries and maintaining them and paying lots of attention to our lover and having that integrity within a relationship so you build a strong container for one another and then you're free to be independent sexual beings alongside one another. That's my vision for monogamous relationships. I think it sounds way more fun and hopefully you're on board with that. So let us know how this goes, and we'd love to hear a follow-up from you or from anyone who's listening and put some of these strategies into practice. We want to know what's working, what's going right, and if you have any follow-up questions or any questions you want answered at all, then head over to pleasuremechanics.com, go to the Ask Us Anything page, and fire away. We are here from you. We'd love to hear about what you're experiencing and what questions you have.
You can also subscribe to our free weekly newsletter for weekly sex advice, exclusive giveaways, and more over at pleasuremechanics.com.
And when you are ready to master new sexual skills and fully unlock your erotic potential, come over to pleasuremechanics.com, grab any of our download-to-own video guides, and as a listener of this podcast, use the promo code SPEAKINGOFSEX, all one word, for 20% off any of the download-to-own video guides. We're going to guide you stroke by stroke in mastering touch for every part of your lover's body so you can feel way more sexual pleasure. That is our commitment to you. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte. We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.